Thank you. Okay, I guess we can get started. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever joyous in consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lady Guadalupe, pray for
pray
us. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. John the Evangelist,
pray for us.
St. John Vianney,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
And the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, welcome you all to this retreat. I'll explain, first of all, there's a bathroom there to the right. There's also a bathroom in the church. Also, during the course of the retreat, you have the Blessed Sacrament exposed around the clock, aside from the 12 o'clock Mass. So, in all your free time, if you want to visit the Blessed Sacrament, you're more than welcome to do that. And that's going to be, I have two focal points in this retreat. It's going to be the Eucharist and Mary. I mean, what can I do in, you know, two 40-minute talks, no? So that's going to be, and I'm not going to be giving you a theology class. I mean, you do that there. This is basically going to be how you can establish a deep friendship with Jesus and Mary. That's the purpose, okay? So I'm not going to give you ontology, metaphysics, or eschatology, or, you know, theandric actions, anything like that. You'll learn that in the future, okay? But I want is to try, my purpose, and I'll be praying for you, is that all of you will fall in love with Jesus and Mary. And that's the thrust of this flash retreat, you might say. Okay. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to be giving you two biblical passages to meditate upon. One for this session, and the next one at 1:30. And this will be our dynamic of the schedule. 10:30 to 11:15. We'll probably extend it a little bit because of the traffic. Then after that, I have two priests that would be available to hear your confessions if you like, okay? As on a day of retreat, it's not a bad idea to make a good confession. And if there's, if all of you wanted to go, I'd be available for that also. But Father Larry and Father Craig will be there after this presentation. After the talk, I would really invite you to spend time in prayer, okay? The purpose of this is to help you to really connect with Jesus and Mary. Then after that, at 12 o'clock, there's going to be a group sharing. You could, given that you're 11, maybe divide into two groups. And you could basically, some of you have done the exercise with me, follow that dynamic. Okay, a couple of you I've already seen going through the exercises. So maybe you can have a facilitator and say, well, what happened in this meditation? And share three or four minutes, because Ignatian retreat, you have to have some type of spiritual direction. The group secondarily serves as a type of direction so you can articulate what's going on within your hearts, okay? And given that you're, you know, your classmates, you're heading in the same direction, it also serves to encourage each other, to be like a Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Okay, that's what Barnabas means, son of encouragement. Encourage each other to become the person that God wants us to be. Okay, then lunch break will be about 12:30 to 1:30. And then, there's a lot of restaurants in the area, and there's McDonald's. They're all over the place in Southern California. We're not in the sticks. Nobody can choose whatever place you want to go to, okay? But no, don't ask me to pay for it, though, okay? I have a vow of poverty, no? So don't ask me to defray the cost of your luxurious midday meal, okay? Or a Spartan, depending upon if you're an ascetic or not. Then we'll have a second talk at 1:30. And then you'll have personal meditation. Then you'll have group sharing again. Then you'll have Q&A. Okay? You can ask some questions. And I'll be very honest. If you ask me a question that I don't know, I'm not going to fake it. Okay? But there's always good resources we can go to. Okay? Hopefully I'll be able to respond to a few of your questions. We'll have half hour. That will take us up to 3:45. And 3:45, at 3:45, you'll be going to the new church for the holy hour. Because at 3:45, 100 people are coming in, and I got a parents class at 3:45 to 4:45. So you're making a holy hour. I'm giving one of the classes, many classes I give. Then at the end of 3:45, we will, 4:45, we'll have Holy Mass. And that will be the conclusion of our flash retreat. Okay? What do you think? I mean, I believe we can do a lot of good in a short time if we walk with Jesus and Mary. No? We can do a lot of good in a short time if we're walking in the right direction. No? Even if we walk in the wrong direction, Augustine says, better to limp in the right direction than to fly in the wrong direction. Okay? All right. Any questions? Great. So what I'd like to do is, the whole purpose of this first talk is the essence of why as they say in French, the raison d'être, you know, the reason for why we are priests. So if in several years you're ordained the priesthood, I pray that that will become a reality if it's God's will. You have to know the primary focus of your priesthood. Okay. When I was going to college many years ago, you heard this expression, identity crisis, back in the 70s. No, I still believe that a lot of people have identity crisis today in the modern world. No, if you do not know who you are as a priest, what is the very heart of your priesthood, you're not going to persevere. There's just too many negative forces out there, you know. If you don't have great clarity of focus and purpose, none of us are going to make it. But if you know who you are, where you're heading, and how to get there, that's called a principle and foundation. You guys can become priests that are going to be saving millions of souls. I didn't say hundreds or thousands, but millions of souls. You know, the sky's the limits. Look at a John Bosco. Look at a Curie of Ours. Look at a De Montfort. Look at John Paul II. Look at a Liguori. Look at all these saints that I admire so much. I mean, they were not parsimonious or selfish in pursuing perfection, but the skies were the limits for these great men and women of God. And all of you, you're called to become great saints. And I talk with Father Larry today in the priesthood. It's all or nothing. If you're not going to give everything, you know, pack up and head home. No? But if you're willing to give up everything and give God the magnanimity, all that you have, then you guys can do so much good. I often quote, you know, the greatest novelist of the 19th century was obviously Charles Dickens, and he says, the worst of times can be the best of times. No? The worst of times can be the best of times if we're walking with the Lord, okay? The worst of times can be the worst of times, too. We're not walking with the Lord, no? But we want the worst of times to be the best of times. Or as the Beatles used to sing, it's getting better all the time, right? I guess I'm showing my age already now. Okay, so the purpose of this talk, is your biblical passage is going to be Luke chapter 24. And my thrust in this presentation is to motivate all of you to do what one of my heroes as a priest and a bishop is Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. I think you've heard of him, most of you, right? Maybe some of you had. He's, you know, wrote about 65 books. His Treasures in Clay is his autobiography. I met him personally. Yeah. Yeah, I met him personally at the end of his life. He would come to Massachusetts, where my parents lived, and he made a holy hour in this little Polish church where he had a good friend. He'd come once a year. He was pretty decrepit, maybe about 83. He had about a year to live before he died, but I met him, no? And my dad, who worked on Wall Street, actually bumped into him going into a restaurant because he lived in Manhattan, downtown. I feel for you guys, if you want a model, Fulton Sheen. Robert Barron is doing a great job, I think, as you know, the new auxiliary bishop of Santa Barbara. No, Fulton Sheen for me says everything. He's highly educated. He's refined. He's a caballero, they say in Spanish. He's a gentleman. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of sacrifice. And he was the head of the missionary branch of the church when he was elected by Pope. He was the first tele-evangelist on radio, then on TV. And the devil obviously is blocking his beatification. You know, this dumb thing was happening in New York. They want to get his body to go back to Peoria or keep it in New York. It's the devil, because if he becomes a saint, what a model for bishops and priests. What a model. No? Just pray that the devil will kick back into hell, so he'll be beatified and canonized as soon as possible. Okay, so if you know anything about Fulton Sheen, he was consecrated bishop for Rochester, New York, and then he sent in his letter of demission at 75. Canon law says when you're 75, you have to send to the Holy Father a letter of your retirement. Now the Holy Father can say, fine, but you're gonna be serving as a bishop even more. Or the Pope can say, okay, 75, you're retired. So he did retire from being a bishop, but what did he do the last 9 years of his life? Preach retreats to, according to St. Anthony Mary Claret, the most difficult group to convert. Priests. Claret, no? Founder of Claretian, he said the most difficult nut to crack, as Ignatius said about Francis Xavier, no? Most difficult nut to crack are priests. Often because of our pride, no? We think we're the big man on campus because we got our degree in theology and philosophy. We think we're big stuff, no? So, you know, because of intellectual pride, it's difficult to... That's why the exercises are the best to convert anyone. Because you have to confront yourself as you are, and God challenges you to order the disordered and to change and to go deeper in your relationship with Him. Okay, so the last stage of his life, he gave retreats to priests and bishops. And you can go online, the Cor et Lacor would be the one I think he gave in Dublin, and he gave one in Washington, D.C., and I think he gave one in Kentucky. So he decided the rest of his life to work on trying to convert priests and bishops. And this is what he said to them, point blank. If you want this retreat to be a success, you have to make the daily holy hour. Otherwise, this is a dismal failure. I'm going to say the same thing. I say, you guys want to be good priests, you got to make the daily holy hour. And I believe you can do it. If I've, over the past 10 years, I've got 10,000 people to go through my program, about 1,000 a year, and some of you guys have made the exercises, you get lay people, you know, mothers with five kids that can make a daily holy hour, come on. And you see lay people, sometimes they're much more fervent and enthusiastic than we are, no? We should go beyond them because we're called to be conformed to the high priest Jesus Christ, as John Paul II says in Pastora Dabo Vobis. We're called to go beyond the lay people in that conformity with the high priest Jesus Christ. And the ontological change comes about once we're ordained. So I really ask you, that's the whole focus of this first talk, to see if you can find an hour in your day and give that to the Lord. Okay, give that hour. It might mean you just have to get up. You have to get up a little bit earlier. I think it's a good idea to get it done early. But, for example, the other day I had the 6:15 Mass in the morning. Had to get up at 4:50, you know. Had to get up a little bit earlier, get my holy hour in, and then after that I had my three masses, my 3 hours of preaching and teaching, my baptizing a 70-year-old man, giving him confirmation of anointing, and yeah, it was cool, no? You know, God's grace works, no? Those are the real blessings, when you get someone who's dying and you give them all the sacraments at the same time, like a free boat into heaven, no? Become a priest is the best thing in the world. But you got to live it out. And if you're not living it out, as the saints would say, you're choosing the wrong vocation. But if you're going to give yourself 100%, then, you're in the right place. But today is all or nothing. And you guys are not here by chance. You want to get me angry, say, good luck, Father. Sin against the first commandment. No such thing as luck. It's called divine providence, right? Good luck. Don't go to the casino in your free time here, okay? No such thing as luck. Everything is divine providence. No? It's God's providential hand is leading and guiding us through all the vicissitudes of life to our end, which is heaven. Okay, so that being the case, I really want to encourage all of you to look at your lives and see when can you get that holy hour in. Okay. When can you get it in? Okay, let's go through the when, the where, the why, and the how. Why do you take apart a literary piece and use the same format in responding to that question? Okay, now when? I already made allusion to it, but I would try to get it in as early as possible. And I'll give you three reasons. First is, you ever read Mark chapter 1, any of you? Okay, Mark chapter 1, you read it, but you don't know what the content is because you're not Protestants, right? Okay, so Mark chapter 1. So Mark chapter 1, it's a typical day in the life of Christ. Mark does not have the infancy narratives as Matthew and Luke, right? But Mark cuts to the quick. He's got Jesus baptized, and then in that chapter there's a lot, but you have a typical day in the life of Christ. And here's the phrase for you. It says that Jesus got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. There you have it. That says it all. Way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. No, Daniel, that's the book of Genesis. Oh, no. He's still learning. No? He's still in philosophy, not theology yet. Okay. Okay. Way before dawn and he was absorbed in prayer. So what does way before dawn mean? I say 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, huh? And absorbed. What's the opposite of absorbed? Distracted, right? Or dissipated. Or unrecollected, no? Way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. And then after that you see Jesus preaching and teaching and healing and exorcising. Exorcising. Okay? Not exercising like that. Casting out devils. There you have it. But his day started with his deep communion with God the Father. Then he launches himself into teaching and preaching and healing and helping. Once you become a priest, that's going to be your life. It's going to be your life, no? It's a great life. But that day on Sunday, I mean, 6:15 Mass, then I had an hour talk here to the parents, then I had another Mass at 10 o'clock, then I had the exercises at 1:30, then I had to baptize that guy, I had to come back for the Gruppe di San Jose at 5 o'clock, I give an hour and a half talk on Humana Vitae, which is important that men know what that is too, as well as women, then the 7 o'clock Mass, and Yeah, you got back to the house at about 9 o'clock. It was a 15-hour day. Yeah. And I'm already in my early 60s. Ah. Hey, but I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. Huh? I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. Remember that one, okay? Yeah. So, I mean, it was a great day. It was a great day because there's so many thousands of people I was able to meet. 10 o'clock mass, you get 1,000 people, no? So, you know, the harvest is rich. You guys want to save souls as priests, you can do it. But you got it. If you're not connected to the Eucharist, you're building your house on sand. You're walking on thin ice. But if you're deeply rooted in Christ, I mean, God can take and use you to do so much good. So, maybe you have to get to bed a little bit earlier. Maybe the last hour of your, probably the last hour of your day is the day which is least profitable. Kind of unwinding, nothing's really happening, you're kind of floundering no man's land. You know, you're going to bed at 12 o'clock, you could go to bed at 10:45, so that hour and 15 minutes that you're kind of wasting, you could be using for your prayer time. Now, if it's literally impossible for you to do it early, okay, well, maybe you're a night owl. Maybe it's better for you to do it in the evening. Maybe that's your case. But I still feel starting off the day with this deep dialogue with God, I think there's nothing better. Second reason is, you read this in the Diary of St. Faustina Kowalska. Some of you have heard of that text. Diary of Mercy in My Soul, St. Faustina Kowalska, who is the Secretary of Divine Mercy. She says this: if you don't do it early, you're probably not going to do it, or you do it poorly. That's what she said. This is a canonized saint. Either you're going to maybe skip it because you got things come into our day that kind of crowd that out, or you're going to do it poorly. So the crack of dawn. Now, Fulton Sheen is a very practical man. He says, never start your holy hour without first having your first cup of coffee. Okay?
That's right.
You agree with that? You
I
hear him?
This
See how alert he is now? Okay, good. Okay. Otherwise, you're all going to be agreeing with everything that you read in the gospel. It's called the yo-yo effect. No?
Yeah.
like the first holy hour of the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane, the first holy hour. Wasn't too good, was it?
Nope.
And the third reason, maybe just this is the way I'm wired, is that I really believe our spiritual life is its combat zone. Maybe you guys don't have any struggles or trials, but once you become a priest, they're gonna be doubled, okay? And not to scare you out of the seminary, you know, but once you become a priest, the devil goes after you relentlessly. Relentlessly. That's why my second talk is consecration to Mary. Mary is much more powerful. Right, Dan? Mary can crush the head. We don't have Mary, the devil goes after us relentlessly, ruthlessly, fiercely. But the devil has a mortal fear of the Blessed Mother, St. Louis de Montfort, right? A mortal fear. A mortal fear. So, To prepare ourselves to fight against the devil, the flesh, and the world, we prepare ourselves by our spiritual combat, which is prayer. St. Alfonso says there's no such thing as strong people or weak people, but people that know how to pray and people that don't know how to pray. That's St. Alfonso's. I think how true it is. There's no strong or weak people. People who know how to pray, they're strong. People who know how to pray, they're losers. Okay, so there's the when. Let's go to the where. When I was in seminary in Rome, I studied in Rome for 7 years at the Angelicum, the Pontifical University of Thomas Aquinas. Or J.P. II studied earlier, whose teacher was Garrigo Lagrange, the famous Dominican writer. Most of my companions were Italians. And the Italians are different than the Americans in many ways, okay? The Americans basically have a big breakfast and a smaller lunch. The Italians have barely any breakfast and a huge pranzo, okay? So one of my companions said, after the big pranzo, at about 2 o'clock, this is my favorite time of the day. I'm going to go up in my room now, and I'm going to do horizontal meditation. What that is? So, doing your meditation while you're resting in bed, that's not gonna fly, no, okay? You're probably gonna quote David says, I meditate upon your law in my bed day and night. You're probably gonna quote that one, no? But the best place for you to do it is it's a holy hour, not a happy hour. Okay, there's a big difference between a holy hour and happy hour. There's a difference, right? It could be holy happy hour. Right. Holy happy hour, okay? It's in front of the Blessed Sacrament. In front of the Blessed Sacrament. You probably have more than one chapel where you guys live, right? You probably got several, no? So you got two? Well, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I don't know if you're given permission, but we have a little chapel in our rectory, and we have obviously the tabernacle. And what I do is I will expose it. I'll take the little monstrance we have and place it on top of the tabernacle. Then I'll light a couple of candles, then I'm set. So not only the tabernacle, but I like to see the Lord. Not to say he's not in the tabernacle. But you got a little monstrance there. When you go in the church, you can have a big monstrance, which is really beautiful. You got the candelabra, and it's a really beautiful church. If you haven't been here, you're going to be impressed, no? And then you've got, you're with the Lord that whole hour. How privileged. Now think about this analogy. Okay. If you were given the privilege of spending some time with the person that you admired most in this world, you can maybe think of the person you admire most. Spending an hour with that person. What a privilege. Well, let's take another step. Maybe John Paul II comes back and you have an hour with him. Or Mother Teresa. Or maybe Juan Diego. Or maybe spend an hour with the Blessed Mother. Wow. St. Joseph, his feast day today, right? Every time you have your holy hour, you're not with your favorite person. You're not with Thomas Aquinas. You're not with Faustina or St. Francis, or even you're with God. How privileged we are. How privileged we are. And I really feel not wanting to do this, I think our faith is weak. Now, you're going to be a priest in the future? St. Vincent Ferrer says, a heart that's cold, fiery darts can't shoot out of the mouth. Huh? Vincent de Ferrer, great Dominican preacher. A heart that's cold, fire is not going to shoot out of the mouth. How are you going to convince your people to love the Mass if you're not in love with the Mass? You tell me. Now, people pick up a fake right away. People pick up a $3 bill. You ever see a $3 bill? It's a New York expression for a fake. No, people pick up a fake. You know, a country mile away. When people see a priest that celebrates the Mass with fervor and love and devotion, people are blown away. But when they see a priest that's kind of nonchalant and flippant and about what the Eucharist is, it scandalizes the people. Maybe they won't tell you to your face, but behind the back, that priest, look at the way he celebrates Mass, no? You can't spend a minute afterward to give thanks to the Lord. No, the people look at us. No? As Paul says, that we're ambassadors for Christ, but We're spectators, too. Every step along the way, people are looking at us. We're public figures, whether we like it or not. So seeing a priest that loves the Eucharist is one of the best witnesses we have. What I try to do if I don't have the confessional line really long, we have so many people come here for confession, and it's like people all over L.A. come here to go to confession, is I will purposely expose the Blessed Sacrament, and now I will pray the rosary with the people. That impresses the people. Now, if I don't pray the rosary with the people, half the people get up. If I pray the rosary with the people, stay. There's power in the priesthood. People want to see the priest. What are the principal duties of the priest? Why did they ordain deacons? So that the apostles could do the two P's. The two P's, remember. Preach and pray. Our two obligations is to pray, the Mass, and to preach. That's Vatican II. Presbyterian ordinance, you'll read that later on. No, principal duty is the preaching of the Word of God. But even before that, prayer. If we don't have a deep prayer life, nope. Okay, so there we have that. Hopefully we're convinced we're going to try to get that holy hour in. Now, Fulton Sheen gives a really good talk on this. And my handout is an article that I wrote a few years ago. And it's basically, my handout is on the holy hour. So I'm going to give that to you. You can read it. Then the second one is going to be something that was published by Catholic Exchange, because I write in my articles, I publish Catholic Exchange every week for the past 5 years. That one we're able to download and make a copy of the second one, the Blessed Mother. But when early in the morning, where in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, how? Let's respond to the how. Now, Fulton Sheen in his talk on this gives a lot of options. But don't forget, Teresa of Avila says prayer is a dialogue with a friend, being in silence with him who I know loves us. I know it better in Spanish than English, no? But it basically, the translation in English would be, prayer is spending a long time in silence with a friend that knows the friend that you know loves you. That's the definition of Teresa of Avila. Okay? So time, silence, friendship, love. Those are the four key words of Teresa of Avila. Time, silence, friendship, and love. Okay. Five nouns. Okay, you want to spend time. There's got to be silence. Recognize that Christ loves you. And he wants to establish a deep friendship with you. Okay, so there you are. How are you going to enter into dialogue with the Lord? I cannot start a holy hour if I don't first pray to the Blessed Mother. I have to pray to Mary, otherwise I'm blocked. Mary is full of grace. The grace starts to flow through Mary. Then Romans chapter 8. Remember what that is? Yeah. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Teresa of Avila says the Holy Spirit is the interior master. Okay? The interior master is the Holy Spirit. And then Teresa of Avila, who's the master of prayer, says we have to have some text, some book. Now obviously the best would be the Word of God, having the Bible. And you can have a Bible commentary. Not to say you can't have another text. Father Tim Gallagher, I think some of you know who he is. He's been at EWTN. He's an oblate priest. He gives retreats all over the country. Hopefully you'll be able to get some of his books and read them in your spiritual formation. He said that he learned how to meditate when he was, I guess, 14 or 15. It was a providential encounter with the book of De Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life. All of you have read all the works of Francis De Sales, right? In his thousands of letters, right? He wrote Treatise on Love, which is one of the greatest masterpieces on love ever written. But Introduction to the Devout Life, if you don't know how to meditate, that's probably the best you have out there. He runs you through how to meditate and then end up with a colloquy. However, the problem with men and guys who are studying philosophy and have a certain intellectual bent to your nature, we tend to be too cerebral. And remember the exercises, you know, the biggest distance from the head to the heart. So prayer, it's not a cerebral intellectual activity. You know, you start up here because, as Aquinas says, the will is a blind faculty. Okay, there has to be an object to the will. So you can't just be up here. You start up here. But you have to go from the head to the heart. And who makes that connection? Mary and the Holy Spirit. Those few inches, they're hard to go from here to here. But Mary and the Holy Spirit help us to sink. Yeah. They arrived a little bit late, so it'll probably be about another 10 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's the biggest distance, is going from the head to the heart. Now, you want to arrive at the heart. Ignatius uses the word a colloquy. You've heard that word before, right? Colloquy. Blessed Cardinal Newman says prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation with Christ. Great definition of prayer. Maybe you've heard of Blessed Cardinal John Henry Newman, some of you guys. So the bulk, the method is fine, but you want to arrive at a point where you're just opening up and you're talking to God. Talk to God using your own words. St. Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you are weary, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls. Why? Because my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There you have it. That's the essence of prayer. You're coming to the Lord, who's meek and humble of heart. You find rest in him, because his yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Okay, so the how is using some text to enlighten your intellect, but to ignite your heart. And your heart is ignited by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and you open up with a dialogue with the Lord. Okay. Now, the why of this, let's give you the why. The why of this is because you're all called to become great saints. Yeah, don't say that as a pious platitude either, okay? Or as a nice cliche. It sounds nice. No, but it's a moral imperative. Not whimsical thinking, but it's a moral imperative. I'll prove it. Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy, right? Ever hear that verse? Go to the tense. It's from the infinitive is to be, but it's the imperative, right? Be means the Lord is commanding us, even more so as future priests. Even more so as future priests. Our people have to see men that are real saints. And it's not going to come about if we don't have this deep union with Christ, who is the Holy of Holies. Okay, so that's the reason why, is that you can't give what you don't have. You have this deep union with Christ. Then as apostles and missionaries of the Lord, you're going to be able to touch and be instrumental in saving so many souls. Maybe you read The Life of the Curé of Ars. There's a lot of versions by Rutler, O'Brien, Abbé Trochu of Tan Publishers, the most famous one. No? How did that guy convert that no man's land in the boondocks? No? It was basically total paganism after the French Revolution. I mean, is that he spent long hours in prayer. He practiced very intense penance too. And this was his prayer. Lord, send me any suffering you want, but save my people. What a prayer. I mean, he had apostolic zeal. He's the patron of parish priests. I have a first-class relic of him in my room. I mean, I really admire him. You know, a little bit, piece of bone of this great saint. Okay, so for lack of time, I'm not going to. I won't explain the biblical passage, but I'll give it to you. And the biblical passage is the. I'll just give you a brief 2-minute summary of it, and let the Holy Spirit work. It's Luke 24, not Luke chapter 25, because there's only 24 chapters in Luke. Okay. It's the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, if you can read through that liturgically. This, when I give the spiritual exercise, this is kind of like the closing cream of the crop of the exercises. Because what you have there is these guys, they're walking with the Lord, they're listening to the Lord, they're talking to the Lord, they're inviting the Lord, they're breaking bread with the Lord, and their hearts go from confused and sad, and their hearts are set on fire. And it's like a miniature mass, because when they're walking, that's the liturgy of the word. Yeah, what's happening there? They're walking, and they're listening to the logos. You know what that word means in Greek? Logos means the word. Jesus is the logos. They're walking, listening to the logos. They're speaking to him. That's the liturgy of the word. Then they arrive at the little house, and what's that? That's the liturgy of the Eucharist. So he takes bread, right? He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread, and he gives the bread. The second mass, which happens it's Easter evening. So there you have the culmination of the Paschal mystery: passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. There in the Eucharist, at the end of the walk of the road to Emmaus. Basically says it all. So I'll leave you in good company now. And so what we'll do now is I'm going to give you a copy of the first talk, and it's the hour of power. Okay, I'm gonna pass these out. The purpose is to motivate you to fall in love with the Mass, fall in love with the Eucharist, and to become holy priests according to God. So if you want to have any extras and maybe give out to someone else, you can have these. So, okay, so just that you're aware of where we're heading, is there are a couple of priests now in the church, Father Larry, Father Craig, for confessions. It might be a good idea to make a confession. And then you'll have your group sharing at about 12. And you can maybe come here, and you can maybe set up two groups. There's a room behind also if you want to prefer to go there. Then you'll have your lunch from 12:30 to 1:30. Then I'll come back for the second talk at 1:30. We'll see you then, okay? So let's say Hail Mary and ask the Blessed Mother to really help us to go deep in our friendship with Christ. That's really why we're here. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. And glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As well as the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end.
Okay, good. So